When Alaska journalists Tony Hopfinger and Amanda Coyne started covering the corruption probe, it didn't take them long to see the potential for a book. The scandal began with an oil tax vote in the state legislature in 2006. Along the way, Ted Stevens lost his Senate seat, state lawmakers went to prison, and Sarah Palin rose to become a national celebrity. Earlier this month, Crude Awakening, Money, Mavericks, and Mayhem in Alaska was published. I sat down with the husband and wife team to talk about the twists and turns of the corruption investigation and the political fallout in the state. Hopfinger says it tells the story of oil and Alaska politics over the last 40 years.
You know, there's always been a particular dominant industry out in Alaska. I mean, there was fishing, obviously, before oil. And every state has a dominant industry. But what makes obviously Alaska so unique is that more than 85% of our tax revenue comes from oil, and because of the fact that the oil exists on state land, it's not in say private lands like in Texas or North Dakota, where and the more that we as a state have depended on oil, the more I think it things get muddled. And cozy, really overly cozy relationships develop.
Do you think, in light of that dependence, was this corruption scandal inevitable?
Well, yeah, I guess to some extent. I mean, you'd always hope that people would act better. That's a good question. What do you think? I mean, do you think that it's...
Yeah, I mean...
Was it inevitable? Was the writing
probably,
on the wall?
Probably. It was probably inevitable. You know what surprised me? One of the many things that surprised me in researching this book is how, and particularly give a shout out to the Anchorage Daily News and Rich Maurer at the Anchorage Daily News, he'd been, you know, trying to draw attention to the legislators' relationship with oil companies for his whole career, basically, since he started here. And, you know, it was just so interesting going through all those archives and reading all those stories. And having apparently none of them really stick. I mean, nothing really stuck. And, you know, so I kind of now have a better understanding of the reaction when the FBI did finally come in. You know, the elated reaction across Alaska, like that finally something is being done, because those stories just didn't stick. And so I don't know, the inevitability of it, yeah, probably.
The enormous and messy sort of explosion of the corruption investigation took a lot of people down. Ted Stevens, who at one time seemed pretty much untouchable. Yet, even though it destroyed his political career, it ultimately was an investigation that was mired in its own problems, and much of it was dismissed. Were you surprised by how this happened or how this went down?
You know, the specifics in the corners cut by prosecutors in Ted Stevens's case, that was like one set of problems, and he had these other set of problems that related to more of some of the state cases as far as the questions of whether the Justice Department covered up the allegations that Bill Allen had carried on sexual relationships with underage girls. And because the latter there, we had done a lot of reporting on it, and we had questions about what the FBI and the prosecutors were doing. So by the time things got all screwed up in the Stevens case and subsequent fallout, it didn't surprise me. I felt that the Justice Department, for whatever reason, they had not honed that investigation, and they found themselves cutting corners in order to justify their prosecutions.
Yeah.
Not to say, though, that Ted Stevens should not have been hanging out with Bill Allen and having him work on his home. And Pete Codd and Vic Corn should not have been sitting around in the Baranoff with Bill Allen eating cheeseburgers and getting drunk with him.
Well, it does seem mind-boggling totally to me, and has since these missteps within the prosecution came to light. You would think that when you're dealing with charges against the most powerful Republican senator in U.S. history, that you would be above reproach in every bit of your research and your evidence gathering.
I'll give you an anecdote that we have in the book. Special Agent Mary Beth Kepner, who led the Polar Pen investigation, I had coffee with her in May of 2008. And she asked me, what do you think the quid pro quo is with Ted Stevens? And I said, you guys have already searched his house and you don't know, like, what you're going to actually where you're headed with this? You know, and it was only a couple months later that they actually then indicted him on the failing to disclose. But they were trying to get him on bribery, and they didn't have it. And then they screwed up the failing to disclose.
How much do you think Sarah Palin benefited from this corruption scandal?
Well, I think her whole career depended on it.
I agree. Yeah, I think that the pendulum swung, you know, in reaction to then Governor Murkowski's quote unquote giveaway to the oil industry, the subsequent revelation that a bunch of lawmakers are under investigation by the Justice Department. It all sort of seemed to give her credence when she had said the good old boys were controlling everything and we were selling ourselves out as a state, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, sort of her rise in politics on the state level definitely corresponds to all of that.
Yeah, it was really interesting to kind of look back and watch what she was saying. She was, you know, even in the primary, she was running against, you know, John Binkley and Frank Murkowski and or even, you know, we could even go to the general with against Tony Knowles and Andrew Halcrow in 2006. And she was really the only anti-oil candidate of the three. She really was.
There's been so many huge moments, the FBI raids, Sarah Palin as Republican vice presidential contender, Ted Stevens loses the election, Ted Stevens is killed, federal prosecutors get in trouble for misconduct. Did you begin to think that you'd never be able to say the end and get the book published?
Well, yeah, especially after the plane crash that killed Senator Stevens and Lisa Murkowski's write-in campaign, Joe Miller. It got to the point, you know, like, all right, we just got to call it quits here. Like, there'll be another bunch of chapters to write and, you know, maybe in another edition of the book or something. But, yeah, you really did start to feel like, you know,
will
you're just
madness
keeping a diary.
Ever end?
Yeah, this is like a diary or something.
It just went on and on.
And so do you think that there's a sequel? I mean, I hate to ask you this after you just got done with this enormous amount of work.
I hope not, because one, I would hope that we've learned our lessons as a state and we won't like have some of these outlandish events happen in the future, and we will, you know, somehow learn the lessons. And plus, I really don't want to write another book right now.
Tony Hopfinger and Amanda Coyne founded the Alaska Dispatch. Their book is called Crude Awakening: Money, Mavericks, and Mayhem in Alaska.